Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Could you use some extra help around the house?
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today's episode, we will discuss Humans. It airs on AMC Sundays, 9, 8 Central. And we also have Eric here.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, there you go. So, all of us, it's a brand new show. It's a British show. But we got a lot of, one American. And that would be, who's the American?
I don't know. Who is the American on this show?
Is that dude from Sci-Fi's Dune.
Oh, William Hurt.
Hurt, you know. Yes.
William Hurt. Of course. American treasure.
Yeah, okay. And then we have a lot of, so we have William Hurt. We have Merlin.
Yes, awesome. Colin Morgan.
Colin Morgan, yep. And then, do we recognize anyone else? Oh, we have Catherine Parkinson, and she is from the IT Crowd. Did anybody watch that show? Funny as hell.
I've seen a few apps.
Yeah, very funny show. And so, you know, great cast so far.
Now, Eric.
Yes?
You do realize that Gemma Chan, the star, the lovely Gemma Chan, has been on other programs.
I didn't.
You what? Didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Eric, come on, man. One of the many fine shows that she has been on was a little show, also British, called Doctor Who.
Wait, I recognized the other guy from Doctor Who, but I didn't recognize her from Doctor Who.
Yes.
You know what episode she was in?
I do.
Oh, that's probably why I don't know, because I see now.
What? I don't know what that meant, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I believe it was Waters of Mars.
Yes.
You're correct.
Yes. Yes.
The reason I probably don't remember is because that just happens to be an episode I haven't watched 1,000 times. But I do remember her vaguely.
So.
She's coming back, isn't she? She's coming back. Yes, yes. So, yes. I'm
She's also been on the IT Crowd as well and Sherlock.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
So, enough of, you know, talking about the actors. They're doing a great job. You know, I'm really interested to see what our resident nerd geek robot guy has to say about how this show is executed, how it fits with what you've seen before. Is it good to you? And then I want to get into some Eric analysis about, you know, just the emotion behind it. And then we'll get into, you know, maybe my opinion. Maybe.
I prefer the term robotics engineer, and I don't know what those other words chain together.
Okay, so
resident robotics engineer.
Robot guy.
Oh, so that's lovely. That's lovely. Oh. Well,
yeah.
For starters, I'm always wary when I see shows about robotics and AI and androids. You just worry because it started with Small Wonder, where, you know, the show like that comes
on,
and everybody, as soon as they see it, they're like, hey, have you seen this show? And you're like, oh, geez. You know, because when it's a good show, it's great. When it's not a great show, you just don't want to talk to people about it. You're just like, don't even come up to me about it. I don't want to talk. Small Wonder. For years, I was accosted by every time I mentioned I built robots. Hey, have you seen that show? Leave me alone. Just get away from me. You want to do the hand in the face. No. So
that's some bitterness.
You feel it coming out? You feel it coming out?
So,
when a new show comes out and it's got androids and stuff in it, you're immediately wary. You're like, oh, God, please, just let it be watchable.
Like that show called Mr. Robot that you refuse to watch? Like that?
What is wrong with you? First of all, I'm caught up on Mr. Robot. Secondly, there are no robots in it, was my beef. Stop calling that out.
I told you that.
We changed it to Ed. So anyway, back to the program that actually has androids and robotics in it. So when a show like this comes out, you're immediately worried because you've seen the tropes, you've seen the memes, you've seen all this stuff before, and so you're going, oh, geez, how are they going to mess up a perception of what the future of AI and androids and robotics is going to be like? What are they going to do? And so I sat down, biting my nails, and eased into the first episode of Humans. First of all, when they unwrapped Gemma Chan, I was immediately excited.
The unboxing.
I said, okay, this could be good, because I was impressed.
You are
disgusting. Listen, don't blame me. I'm just saying that they could cast many, many people as androids, and it can go terribly, terribly wrong. Right out the gate, she did a really, really good job with her android portrayal.
Really? You think she did a really good job of that?
I did.
Are you sure?
Yes, I did. I did. Because
just making sure you're not being influenced by anything else.
No, this is completely unbiased, and I'm being sincere. Because, listen, we can talk about other androids later on in the show, or perhaps in another episode where our friend Eric has not seen some of these other shows. But we're sticking with this one. So Humans, yes, come on. Right out the gate, her behavior as a robot was not too robotic. As to it being ridiculous and exaggerated, she's not doing the robot, I mean, literally, with the robot arms and walking into walls and stuff. It was just, no, don't be bringing me that. This is supposed to be modern android technology. I want to see something a little bit more natural, yet still unhuman, you know? I wanted to see that. And she does.
You wanted to see some Uncanny Valley.
I want to see some Uncanny Valley. That's right.
And oh my God,
someone,
you're gross.
And so, what is wrong with you? Someone else who did a great job. I like William Hurt's android buddy as well. You can clearly tell that he's a lower technology, a lower generation of advancement of android. But man, he bumps into walls on occasion. And he's leaking random fluids, but he still manages to stir an emotion in people who are watching the show, mostly because of his connection with William Hurt. You can tell that he's sort of holding this old guy together, and he, even in his failure in terms of, you know, looking human or behaving human, that there is still something a little bit more going on there, and it investigates the connection of what androids and humans working side by side are going to be like in the future. They do a good job. So across the board, those two to start with, as some of the first androids that we see on the show, they do a good job. They really do a good job. So was that a groan? What was that? What was that sound that just came out there?
Was the robot sound?
I don't know. Maybe Eric, you want to chime in here?
I don't know. As a side note, I didn't realize the actor who plays Odie was in Game of Thrones, and I completely forgot. I don't know. I'm just looking at a lot of pictures of his skin from Game of Thrones. I'm slightly distracted. Sorry.
So Eric, would you like to chime in a bit on the Uncanny Valley,
I don't know. It's weird. I didn't think about it too much.
That's a good sign, right? no, I'm serious. That's a good sign. Because if it is not blatant in your face, robot voice, robot motions, then you can get on with getting in the characters and the experience of the space. But all right, that's just me. But okay, so yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, because I don't know, with other recent android things. That we're all familiar with. Like, I kind of think we're all past that already. Like, the ultra robotic nature of, I don't know. I don't know. I can't think. When was the last time a modern portrayal went that way? I mean, I don't know. But, no, I wasn't thinking too much about them as actually being robots. I was just, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect from the show, to be honest.
That's a good start.
I don't know. It's hard to say because just in the first episode, just based on that alone, I was actually disinterested at that point.
Okay.
All right. To be honest. I don't know. Something just didn't feel right. I don't know. Maybe if it's something about British sci-fi shows, the more serious type ones. I don't. There's something about them that just doesn't feel right to me. There's a weird moodiness. And for some reason, too, I don't know if I'm making this up, this perception, but I almost expect some sort of more heavy-handed messages to come if I'm watching a more serious British sci-fi show or property. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Oh, so, but are you saying, is that a good thing? Are you saying that the heavy-handed
message... It depends, though, how it ends up being executed. So I come in with trepidation and you know?
Okay, all right. I will say this. I can sense the dark moodiness that you are describing in some other British sci-fi shows that are not as light as, say, Doctor Who. Dark Mirror is probably the best example of that, where they've got that slightly alternate present future technology going on, as well as the sort of darker lighting, as well as wariness about technology. It's not an open, enthusiastic embracing of modern technology or of the future that you might see in some American sci-fi shows, or maybe some, you know, Japanese sci-fi programs. So I can sense a little of that hue that you're describing.
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned about that as well in the beginning. But Kat, you want to jump in on this?
I will say that I agree with you, Carl, about the darkness and the identification of the moodiness that it does. It felt immediately to me like Dark Matter. And it
dark
does
mirror,
have
mirror,
that...
Dark Mirror.
What did I say?
Dark Matter.
Dark okay,
Mirror.
Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Dark Mirror. Black Mirror.
Oh, is that it? Black Mirror. Thank you. Black Mirror. That's
yeah, sorry. Yes, yeah. So it felt like Black Mirror to me, and it also started to feel like how Torchwood was kind of dark, and became so dark it became like kind of unwatchable for me at that point. But it's humans isn't unwatchable, but I am a little tired of the robots are going to take over the world and they're taking our jobs and things like that. I mean, I know that's a fear, but it's always robots are going to take over the world. Robots are going to kill us. They're going to create a mind of their own and they're going to evolve past us.
Yep.
There's also a little bit of like subtle race thing going on because like, there's this thing where, you know, the robots are the maids and the robots come in and they're, you know, people are uncomfortable with them and they treat them, they talk to them any type of way. So it felt sort of like, you know, if you replace robots with, say, any minority, you know, that are, you know, being disenfranchised at the moment or whatever, that you can easily see how they're trying to have that little subtle message that Eric was talking about. So I don't mind that at all. I like how they kind of play with it and go back and forth. And to be quite honest, it's a little refreshing from like American sci-fi shows in that it's serious. But I don't like the robotic fear that's going because it's getting a little tired. Like when do we like just embrace it because it's coming? You know, like you know. I also don't agree with people when they say that robots. If you're going to make them and you're going to make them to work, don't make them human-like, you know, and you won't have this problem. Keep them with the metal head and the metal this, and then it stays a utility forever. But if you want to throw skin on them and put people, you know, make them acceptable to other people or whatnot, you're going to have this problem. But if you separate church-state or design and keep the flesh off of them, it's easy to say, okay, this thing is supposed to be more Milan. It's supposed to be making my toast. It is supposed to be doing a job, and I don't have to relate with it. I don't have to sleep with it. I don't have to do all these other things. Because personally, I don't want a robotic pal per se. I mean, it's interesting. It'd be something to, interesting to try out for a while, but like, I don't want that to have to deal with, oh, are they a consciousness? Oh, are they this, that, and the other? So, I don't know.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, there was a lot there. I'll say this. I am also tired of the robots are coming to take over Tome whenever we have that in science fiction. I have come to the resignation that we're not going to be able to tell a story without that for a reasonable amount of time. So I look around that. Whenever I see modern sci-fi that's got robots, I just look around that and I try to delve into what else they have to say. I have a feeling that humans is going to try to be a little bit more nuanced in when they're in where they're going with that. We can get into that a little bit more later, but I agree with you. We've seen that story so many times before in short form and long form and movies and Outer Limits episodes. We've seen it so many times before that I am hoping that they are self-aware enough to do something unique with that. They're on the way, and I'm hopeful that's going to happen. But yeah, so okay, I hear you. I see that.
Another thing I feel is now that people are, I guess, accepting of humans playing androids on TV, they forgive the minor eye twitch or small smirk that you just really wouldn't see in an android. And so I guess I'd have to do that too, because, I mean, you know, Data from Star Trek Next Gen had all types of emotions when he was not supposed to be emoting at all. So, and if we forgave him that, and he wasn't bad at all, and we, you know, grew to love him. But here, at the same time, they do a really good job of not emoting as well. But, you know, there's these little, like, why is it so ominous? Why is it so creepy? Why is this the vibe that they're choosing, you know? I don't know if it's ironic, but like behavior as the mom is going to like uncover the mystery of the android, and I don't know. Does that make sense at all? Or?
I'm just gonna say I think they do a pretty good job of not being distracting, like Eric was talking about. I mean, because if it's too over the top, It gets hard to watch. And the fact that most of the folks that are portraying androids in this show have a quiet, dialed back emotedness that I believe is consistent with what we could expect from the Uncanny Valley. I haven't seen a lot of that. And what I also find interesting or encouraging is that even though they are androids and they are modified ones, the different androids have personalities. I mean, there is a distinct difference in personality between Gemma's android character
Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, well, that's an extreme case. That's a very extreme case. But yeah, she is not fun at all. She's not fun at all. But it's fun. It's funny that she's you can tell that her alliance is to the state and to the healthcare industry and not to, you know, William Hurt's character, you know, George, Dr. George. So that's interesting, because you've got to also wonder where the default alliances or allegiances of the androids lie. By that I mean, when you open up an android out of a box, we see early on that Gemma has to go through this bonding period with her primary user, You know, I guess his name is Joe, right? When they first buy her at the shop, Joe and Anita are bonded with, you know, with that instruction manual, and as well as her permissioning is to Joe. I don't remember ever seeing Dr. George go through that when he got
so what I believe is
there might be some cases where the quote state is providing androids for the care of seniors, and I think that's kind of what's going on with Dr. George. So there's no bonding going on with Vera, is that what her name is? With what's the nurse for androids name?
I don't care really.
Oh, I was just looking at it. Where'd she go?
But anyway, so I believe that she is state issued.
Vera.
Yeah. So I think Vera is state issued, and so you're not going to get the kind of trust and bonding and connection that Anita and Joe would have, or that Dr. George and Odie have. Because, well, I think that's just not there.
So, yeah, I believe she's not a personal bot, so to speak.
Yeah, so, you know, you want a warden of the state living with? I mean,
an arm of the state. I don't think she has an 18 plus feature, Vera.
Don't want one. don't want one with Vera. No, you don't want that action happening there. So, no.
Hey, some people might be turned on by that.
Oh, well, you know, nurses. Hey, it could happen. But anyway, state issued. I don't think she's got it. I don't remember the little packet being in. So, okay.
You probably don't even have one. It's probably, like, glossed over.
So if you're looking, you know, from an abstract level, a lot of modern sci-fi, they make the science in the background, and then, like, a show series like Black Mirror, well, the story really becomes an exaggerated view of humans interacting with other humans, or where humanity is going to be. I mean, it's standard across the board with all science fiction. It's just to what degree that we get to see the technology versus the human side of it. And so, all right, so we've got our androids, we've got our alternate present, slightly future present, because, you know, people are walking around with iPads. We're going to let it go. So it's our slightly alternate present. So now what's going on is they're focusing on a lot of social issues. There's a lot of social stuff going on in humans where we are talking about, yep, exactly what Kat was describing, where you can call them an oppressed group, or you can call them a minority group, or whatever you want to call that. It's just sort of the impact of the haves and have-nots, the majority versus the minority culture. And immediately we're starting to see that whole stratification of society kind of...
There we go. Carl's favorite term.
Yeah, well, it's happening. You can see it. You can see it. It's going on there. And so you got to figure out what impact this has on different groups of people. So the first group that we're looking at is the humans. The humans now, we can call Joe, even though he's a working class kind of, you know, person in this, by normal human standards, he is still a well-off individual relative to the serfdom of the androids. Okay, so he can dictate what Gemma is going to do at any time. He's the manor of the mansion, and even though he does not have his personal life in place, there's a social impact to being able to order around other beings the way that he's doing. And that's having an impact not just on him, but on his family and how his family sees him. Clearly, we see later on in the series what's going on with that. But also his need for Gemma, the android in his house. It's very clear that there are some social, personal things that probably needed to be resolved in this household. And then to introduce the android into this household, well, the issues become exaggerated. And it's easy to blame the android or whatever, but it really becomes a magnifying glass on the social things that were wrong in that household to start with. So that is the direction the science fiction is going in with humans. Show's called Humans. It ends up being like The Walking Dead. It's not about zombies. It becomes really a lot more about what the zombie impact on people and people in stressful situations and forced to the edge of the limits of what they're dealing with. Well, it's the same thing. This is classic science fiction now. It's just it seems to be a lot more about, well, for the most part, a lot more about the humans in it.
Well, I guess because, too, that they want, like, the normal people to kind of watch this show, and if it's all about the tech and the flash, and it's like, oh, this is nerds, I'm going to tune out. However, if it's, like, more, air quote, human, then maybe other people might just pick it up and not feel intimidated.
Well, it's always a sliding scale, because any science fiction that you're watching, it's going to be, you got to figure out where that line is going to be or what level you're going to be watching the science versus the human stories on this. And, you know, we're still a little hurting from the cancellation of Almost Human. We were there, and that show had what I feel is a heavier edge toward the technology side of it. You know, not dramatically so, but it definitely, the vision of the future was set more into the future than what we see in humans. There were more gadgets and more, what do you want to call it? Sort of like, I don't know. There was more of an X-Files kind of feel when you were investigating different. It had more of a Fringe edge to it, not just because of the people who made it, but because we were tracking down rogue technologies, and they focused a little bit more on that. Well, okay, so that would put the scale a little bit more in the science fiction direction that you're describing, Kat. And, you know, it's my personal bias. I kind of prefer that. We liked Almost Human.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
So, but with science fiction, there's always going to be a sliding scale. This knob's going to go one way or another, and it depends on financing. It depends on what story they're trying to tell. So I'm not going to kick it out the sci-fi home just because they're not focusing more on the technology.
Oh, no, I wouldn't kick it out of the sci-fi home. I'm just saying that that people might find it more accessible.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you get some people. And so, well, I'm going to say, fortunately, however, you know, with all that being said, there is, fortunately, an interesting B-plot, a secondary story, of what's going on in the world of the androids. We really get to see things through their eyes in terms of them trying to be or be recognized as being sentient, as what happens when sentient androids are detected, what's going on. So fortunately, there is an interesting secondary story going on there. And of course, especially Leo, who, you know, is Merlin, the character of Leo, who he has become as the series is evolved. We're still not entirely sure, but I think I got my suspicions now, and especially with this last episode, I think we know what he is now. But still, that's an interesting secondary story, and I like that. So,
what is he now? Because he feels like he's like a more humanoid, like the ultimate humanoid android, because he has red blood.
Well, so here's the thing. Now, this is my pseudo speculation. I kind of figured this is where they were going to go, but there was a conversation in this last episode where they were talking about his past, and that kind of triggered something. I can't remember the words exactly. Eric, if you saw it, if you can help me out on this, I'd appreciate it. But they describe being rescued from the water. This is in the scene when they're trying to wake up Anita from her plastered over artificial self. So they're sitting down, they're trying to revive her. And they're trying to talk about past traumatic events, and they said something to the effect of trying to, we got to rescue her again. And what's the other android's name? There's the fellow android who's the black guy that is also hanging out with them. I can't remember what his name is as the android, but anyway, they're trying to wake her up. And they make a reference to what happened to Leo. And then they talked to Dr. George also. Dr. George makes a reference to thinking that the creator's son had died. And what I think is going on here, so they've been hitting around all this time. What I think happened is the android's primary designer, whose son was Leo, had gotten in a serious accident. An accident where Leo had gone brain dead. And likely may have really died. But his body survived. And he put the android brain, or some significantly augmented human brain with android parts, in the body, the biological body of his son. And that is who Leo is. So Leo I believe Leo is the biological son of the android's creators, but something traumatic happened to him, and a dramatic, catastrophic saving had to go on, where augmented with android parts, cyborg brain, I'm not sure what it is yet, but something is it organs, parts, some certain organs didn't survive, where he is significantly augmented now. And so now his camaraderie, the fact that he has red blood, I don't believe is an enhancement, a modern design. I think it's because initially he was human, and he has been augmented to the point where
he is now almost human.
He's almost human. We don't know what level that is, and hence why he feels such a strong camaraderie with the sentient androids built by his father, but that are also waking up to sentience. So we don't know if
you say waking up, Carl. Sorry, yes. I want to make a distinction is because they said something in the latest episode. I don't know if they're waking up or they being programmed with something that an algorithm that makes them think more like humans.
Yeah,
like we're not really sure.
Very good point. Very good point, because it'll boil down to the question of, do you believe that a program can generate sentience? And I hope that they explore that in a fascinating way during the series. But yeah, you're right. When I said waking up, I actually meant emerging from underneath the safe programming that have been put on top of them, so you don't know that the few models are sentient. That's kind of what I meant, not in the true AI sense, where out of the regular androids, the sentience has awoken. Although, while I find that emergence a bit more interesting than trying to create a program out of, 15,000 lines that emerges as sentient, while I find that a little more interesting, the direction they seem to be going is that...
But that seems a little, faith mumbo-jumbo.
Which one? What? Which
the
one?
Waking up.
Well,
emerging.
No. You don't have to go there.
I'm pretty sure that that's the way that they're going to go, though. Because these androids have soul and
So my bias, I would have preferred if the machines emerged that way. It looks like they're taking the safe route out and saying that the genius programmer wrote a program that allowed for sentience to emerge.
But you know what? Because they introduced that so easily and so early, I think it's not going to be that.
Well, I hope you're right. I think because they introduced it so early and so easily that they're probably going to go that way, though. Because here's something that we haven't seen where the show is going to go. It would be more interesting to see other androids beginning to wake up, and seeing them in different degrees of sentience as they try to achieve the full sentience of these few that are already awake. Maybe we'll see some.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be a more interesting journey. But I think because, as it's clear, this series seems to be more about about the social human side of this that they may not invest enough time in it for us to have seen that. I really would have enjoyed that more as a techie, but I'm going to respect the story that they want to tell and recognize that this is going to be 50-50 human story as well as Android story. But we'll see where it goes. Even with Leo, I'm not sure. That's just my speculation because the fact that he's got biological blood, the fact that they've told the story that, oh, I thought his son was dead, the fact that he's got to plug himself in, but he's still human, the fact that he keeps calling these advanced systems, and the only way I can describe the ones that the original Android creator made sentient, I'll just call them the advanced ones, even though we know they're older, the advanced ones, it's the only way I can explain his closeness with the other ones. So I think that's what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know. This many episodes into the series or whatnot, I still haven't fully gotten invested, actually. While on the one hand, I don't think the series is terrible by any stretch, there hasn't been much to hook me in yet, and I'm not sure how that works for me, or how that will work for me. Its approach being all about the social issues, but not being subtle about it, I don't know if I like that. But again, I don't know how to qualify that for myself because, I don't know. There are things like that that work, and there are things that don't. But I don't know how to figure out what's what. Because, you know, obviously it makes me think about 70s Planet of the Apes a lot. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, it makes me think about Alien Nation, the series, which I really liked.
Yeah, I did too. It was great.
But I don't know what separates those that I like. Oh, and then another more recent example. Kat mentioned Torchwood a long time ago. Actually, yes, but specifically Torchwood Series 4, the last season.
Yep. Yeah,
that's the start. It reminds me of that so much. Oh, yeah. And I really, really didn't like that.
Yeah.
Me either.
And so I feel a dusting of that. That might be part of what's tempering me with this. Like, I'm very not interested in the goings-on with the family and the issues that they're facing. Like, I'm very uninterested with the family matters going on, the things going on with the daughter or the son or the dad or the mom or the cheating or feeling like the relationship's down, blah, 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 blah. I really don't care about them. I am a little bit more interested by the killer prostitute synth. I mean, that's a little bit more interesting.
Which is, of course, classic Briss from Blade Runner, but yes.
Sure. That's another thing. I was going to mention Blade Runner. But I'm also a little bit interested now by, the other detective, the female detective.
Oh, yes.
It's like a...
Oh, yeah.
That's actually interesting. Mm-hmm. And then to... I guess a lesser degree, but I guess it's the main thing or the main plot is what's going on with the hidden code and the stuff with Leo and blah, blah, blah. So all the family stuff is just totally getting in the way for me it feels like a distraction for me. I'd rather just keep up with all the other plot threads besides that. And as far as me thinking about the synths, as far as their portrayal or the tech or the way they act, I rather like Blade Runner in that things are just the way they are. I mean, in the world that they inhabit, and all the skin jobs in Blade Runner, they just are what they are. I mean, they might as well just be humans. And there are some questions that film asked, some like bigger just universal questions, but I don't know, I just like it not force feeding me anything one way or the other. I don't know, so I feel weird about this series. I'm still gonna watch it to the end and la-di-da, but
I feel like you're gonna like I feel like you're going to blame me if something goes awry.
I'm not going to blame anybody. No, I was interested in it from the start just because, I mean, it's obviously very British, but it's an AMC co-production, and, you know, so many things from that network I like a lot. This one just, it's just, feels like just another somber British sci-fi thing to me. And, I mean, there's plenty of other, I'm sure... There's many more of them out there, but I just refuse to watch them. So I that's why I can't name even other shows of this ilk. I don't know what it is because something about the British sci-fi that you see a lot on with their television shows or whatever. It reminds me of sci-fi from the 70s, pre-Star Wars, where everything was just so doom and gloom.
Apocalyptic, yes. The world has ended, where everything's made of cement, and we're slogging around in black and white. It's
absolutely.
THX.
Absolutely. And I'm not against that kind of sci-fi, but I just feel like most British sci-fi series, like, it just, that's like their standard mode.
Are you thinking of maybe like Orphan Black?
Well, yeah, but that's, I haven't watched Orphan Black, but okay. And I know there's many more British, again, that I haven't watched, like, I don't know, was it Survivors? And I don't know, there's many out there. They just never interest me because it just seems like blah de blah blah.
Yeah, but 70s sci-fi was rough, man. Let me tell you.
Don't get me wrong. There's some good films and other things from that era.
I know, but the ones that, I mean, Silent Running and THX, I mean, the vision of them were great, but man, they were, yeah, Soylent Green were, it's a good thing that some of us older sci-fi fans started with those shows, because we were so desperate to see what the future was going to be like that we developed the patience to sit through shows like that so that we could get on with the real science fiction. But now I think it's gone a little too far the other way with a lot of, you know, flash and no substance. But I know I'm with you. I can see this. And Kat, he's bringing up one of your first primary concern, which is it seems like a lot of people that are making shows, quote, science fiction shows, are afraid of the science fiction part, where they've got to put in the family dynamic to make the show work, to have a daughter and a husband and wife estranged, and the family estranged from their parents, that somehow that's got to be in there in order to make it a good science fiction show. Again, I'm going to try and respect the story and the story that they're trying to tell about this, but I like a little more focus on the science fiction. My hope is, and what it's looking like is, as the series goes on, they're focusing a little bit more on the sci-fi, though. I mean, we are getting some really interesting background stuff going on with where the android came from, where Leo came from, what's motivating this behavior, the evolution of the android hunter guy, because we got glimmers from the previews of the next episode. We know he did not kill the android that he was supposed to have. So, you know, that's, you know, we saw that preview. So all this kind of
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I agree that for it to start with the family life side of this might have been just the way to bring to ground what's going on and to try to make it approachable. And then I am hoping that they're going to continue to go in a direction that's a little bit more.
It seems like that's what they're going, but and I get it. It makes sense. But it also, the unboxing scene and all that business, it was like straight out of Spielberg's AI.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I didn't understand, like, why I needed to see such a similar interpretation all over again. It almost felt like AI, the series, at least in the first episode. I like that film, by the way. It's just I didn't understand. Like, none of it seemed novel at all. Like, for some reason, I even cringed just hearing, like, oh, let me just read the little, like, activation password, like, sunflower 1, cotton 3, whatever. Like, for some reason that makes me cringe. Like, it feels like sci-fi 101 or something. Yeah. And I don't know. Mm. I feel like I just want to skip past that. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems ridiculous. Like, I don't know. It's like, if I had never seen
the movie, you're not a fan of the origin story, though.
Well, Eric, not, never when it's are. The same, not when it's the same origin story that's been presented elsewhere.
Right.
So just either make it different or skip it, or I don't know.
You know, I want to go back to the undercover. Well, I don't know if she's undercover, but she's passing as human cop lady. I see. So the whole time I thought she was human, and then like she sat weird at her desk for a while. I was like, is she an android? And then of course she did the balloon out of her throat because she eats
and she had esophagus diarrhea.
That's extreme bulimia. But she puts a balloon in her stomach in order to make it, you know, so she can eat in front of other humans, which is pretty clever. Now, so what I can't understand, her mystery to me is like, how did she get in a place of power? Is she undercover? Is she just really clever and passing? Is she descended from the other androids who have, as Carl says, emerged? Like, what is her story? Her story is really fascinating to me.
Yep. As well as the fact that there seems to be a little, dare we say, a romantic spark going on between she and the fellow police officer, the one who just got kicked out of his house. What's his name? Because his wife has the beefy android that helps her around the house.
Yeah.
So
but when he finds out that she's an android, he's gonna go ballistic.
Yeah, well, but he's gonna have to reconcile. That's part of the human side of accepting this, because he's got a bond with her now. I mean, he has a bond with her now, and he's known her for a while, and they are close. And so it seems like she likes him, though. It seems like she likes him. There have been these little hints in terms of how she interacts with him.
Oh, really? It's not subtle.
So I'm just pointing out,
since the series is already, like, you know, a few episodes ahead in the UK, I accidentally read some spoilers on that.
No.
I know. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, it's annoying. I hate when we're still doing that. But, I mean, with them being slightly ahead of us in a show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Because I was,
we're always ahead of them on, like, everything else. So, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it. I was just confused. Because, I mean, just when I was watching the latest episode today, I completely forgot that character, I guess the male detective's name is Drummond, P. Drummond. Yeah. I forgot he was even a character in the show, and I was just,
you know what? Why did you even say that? Ugh.
Why?
Spoiler.
What?
What?
It's a spoiler.
What's a spoiler?
Have you watched ahead?
No.
What are you talking about?
That's not a spoiler.
What's the spoiler?
It's not a spoiler.
Oh, I thought you said you watched ahead and you don't even remember him.
No, I said I was watching the latest episode, and when they had the scenes involving the male detective, I forgot who he even was. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
They focused on some other people and came back to him, but yeah, that, so I mean, that growing tension.
I remember him because he had like the child molester glasses that I don't understand.
Alrighty, where he's gonna go is interesting, because he's already sliding down that scale of anti android humans. He's
slippery
going to these
slope,
things.
Rather.
He's heading down these things. And it's because he has been hurt by what his wife has done with the android. He's already starting to head down that dark path. He's in the alleys. He's watching the fights. But that's again focusing on the human side of accepting what the future of potential androids are going to be like. So
it's, that story is a little bit more exciting though than the family drama.
Yeah, yeah.
All
of the stories are more interesting
than the
family one. Totally.
The only thing that I liked about the family thing is that sometimes I think it's a, let's see how people can relate to this. And so I know that if we were getting an Android in my house, would not look like that. Sorry. It would be either a beefcake guy or like Nurse Ratched. You know, if you have to agree on one. And so, yeah, there would be no way that I would be like, okay, with Miss Sexy Hot Pocket coming up into my house.
But it'd be okay to have the beefcake one.
Well, because I can control myself.
I don't see a double standard there at all. I don't see that. What if you were married? What if you had a husband?
If I'm married and we had a beefcake, because that's what I'm talking about. If I was married, I would say we agree on, like, some booth that we're not attracted to. And I would get Nurse Frau up in there and, you know, with the glove and the, let's do an enema, you know, like, disgusting lady. So we won't have that problem unless, you know, he is into that, which we'd have to have a talk.
Uh-huh.
Because that's cool. But I like that, and I also like how the wife was extremely disgusted when she found out her husband did it with the android. Like, and every other time we've seen it, it's been like, oh yeah, let's, you know, it's something different, it's something new, let's explore that, that's sexy, it's cool, you know. But then on this show, it made it extremely disgusting. Like, he was disgusted with himself after he finished, and then she just kind of sat there and was like, you're putting yourself up, and she was just like, oh, it was creepy. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
So I just.
Oh, you thought it was lame? Come on, this is
because I thought it was like this show's it knows I'm falling asleep, so now it's just gonna pull these shenanigans to try to like get my attention. But I was having none of it.
But come on, you knew they were gonna have to go there. I mean, this I don't
but
think
it was. It was just. I mean, I thought it was also silly earlier in the series when like the son had to go through his little weird crush, weird. Going to the fridge at night situation, that was already and then
is
this,
that a euphemism?
No, he actually went to the fridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that was not a euphemism.
I mean, I know he went to the fridge, but I thought it was a euphemism the way you said. I don't know.
Oh, no. But I'm saying it was this.
It was a euphemism for a booby grab. He was being diplomatic.
It was like the primer for ridiculousness because I was already rolling my eyes on that one, and then now it just took it a step further with the dad.
But I mean, we could see that because she was just so incredibly hot that was going to happen.
Oh, okay. On paper, yes, I agree, but maybe I don't know it. To me, it came out of nowhere in the show because it didn't seem telegraphed, unless I just wasn't paying attention.
No, that sexual tension between him and that bot has been building
telegraphed,
up.
Telegraphed.
Oh, okay, so I wasn't paying attention. I was playing Minecraft while watching.
Well, because like he had to see her undressed, and like he'd look at her ass, and it'd just be these little awkward sexual tension things that he. Like try to deny or whatever, and then he just let himself have it, and then now the son took up for him. I don't know why he didn't let the son take the fall for him and save his marriage, and I'm glad he didn't because at least he's not a coward. But he's still like, you can't look at that guy anymore.
All right. One thing at a time. Can I ask one quick question? Sometimes the British accents get me, and I miss things. In the first episode, when they first get Anita off the factory floor, they make a reference to her behind. What did they say? Do you remember when it's like when they
don't trust the big button of smile? I don't know.
They said something because I'm trying to. The reason this is important is because it seemed like. He was talking to the Android salesman, remember, because he had that used car salesman about him. And he brings out Anita, and he's like, oh, she's a fine model, right? You know, you like her, she's handy around the house, and he's giving her the elbow as, you know, guy to guy. Yeah, she's kind of hot, right? And they say something about her behind. And,
okay, we get it.
No, the reason I ask is because I think... he made some reference that he wanted to modify it. Like, it was like he wanted to say that, I want you to add something or to do something about. The reason I'm asking is because, yes, it's clear that Anita's kind of a sexy android, and that it was the dad's choice. But I'm trying to figure out how far he went, because it seems like he modded her at the factory to his preference, but there was an accent, and there was something about the way he said it. I couldn't figure out what he said, but so it was something when he first got her, and you know he's looking at her because you can see both the father and the son are like, "Hey," when they pull Anita out, that there is that attraction there, not full attraction, but going, "This is no Ratchet. This is going to be nice around the house." You can see you can see the guy bonding on it. You know, father and son bonding on it. But it seems like that before they took her out, that he put in a request for some modification, and I think it was to her backside. But so I'm saying that to say, early on, not only was it telegraphed that there was that sort of attractiveness about Anita to them in there, I'm trying to figure out how far it went, because I believe, not besides the fact that clearly he opened the package and you know read the code that unlocked the sexuality option. It seemed like right from the beginning he was doing things that was going to modify. That was telegraphing that's the direction he could possibly go with Anita. So I was hoping that you could remember, because like I said, sometimes the accents throw me and I can't quite figure out what they said. And I tried to rewind and I couldn't figure out what he was saying. Oh. It seemed like he was making some reference early on that he was modding her that way. I just missed it.
What the salesman was saying is what you're...
During that scene, when they first meet
her,
before he takes her home, right. It seems like the dad says something to her like...
You're right.
You need a little bit... She's not...
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
She needs a little more in the backside or something.
I'm watching it right now. You're sort of right. I'm not sure about the backside comment, but I just realized right now that like when they're... about to open her up for the first time, the dad says something like, "Can we return her if she's not pretty?"
Well, okay, that was first. The kids all agree.
And then they open her, and then the salesman looks at her behind, and after that, he just says, "There she blows." Then
is
your
that,
brand new synthetic.
Oh my God!
Is that what she is? He said, "There she blows." Then is that what he says?
Yeah, immediately after he looks at her behind, he says, "There she blows then. There's your brand new synthetic."
Who says that?
The salesman.
The salesman says it. There she blows.
Immediately after looking at her behind,
uh-huh.
He says, "There she blows then."
Okay, okay. We get it.
Okay,
I just
didn't get the word.
We really get it.
Yeah.
That's what we do on this show. We get down to the nitty gritty.
This was lock it down. Details are so important.
We understand. Details. There was a modification.
Frame by frame.
Fast forward. Oh my God, Eric.
The next time that you have one of your beefcake moments, we're going to remember you wanted to glance over the details that we're
trying to keep mine brief.
Oh my God, you do not keep yours brief. You do. Oh my God. Please.
And you repeat the same thing.
Oh my God. Everybody at home is laughing because they know you are not telling the truth right now.
Okay, well, let me get back on the show just for one second. Because I guess.
Yeah, let's do that.
No, but this is. I mean, but springboarding off what we were just talking about.
Listen.
This is another thing that I think should be a new trope, or they should have a name for this trope. Because this is another thing that I've seen in a lot of British sci-fi for the last 10 years, or not just sci-fi either, just a lot of British dramas in general of the last 10 years. But, like, this whole plot line with the dad and the mom and him cheating with the pretty synth and all this. I'm sure there is a term for the trope. It's the classic, like gender
like
swap.
Kind of like Lolita, you mean?
Or? No, it's like the classic gender. Cause in this family dynamic, the mother's more the breadwinner and he's like the stay at home dad. And normally in a traditional type of story, like obviously the dad would be out and
that would be the pool boy. That'd be the pool
and
boy.
Yeah, exactly. Cause typically the housewife would be at home feeling neglected by her husband, and then it would lead her to cheat or something and explore other things and blah, blah, blah. And that's another, I don't know, it's another thing.
But we have that with the cop's wife.
Yeah.
We do too. But this one's more front and center, and with the whole nuclear family turned on its side.
Right.
But I always roll my eyes every time this happens. I mean, not that it bothers me, but it always feels so obvious to me.
It's fine.
Is it? Wow. I mean, it feels tired to me.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say, because it's like, of course. Because I always feel like, like I said, like they're trying to pan.
What?
Like, see this? We're going against your expectations. Ooh, you're so clever. Ooh, but I feel like
I'm not
falling for any of this.
Role reversal agenda. Huh?
Yes. And. But it's just tired to me, because I don't... Yeah. I whatever. Yeah.
Well, I am kind of sad to hear that you're not enjoying watching it or enjoying the journey of it.
Like, I don't... I wish... But see, that's the other thing, though. It's in this weird middle ground for me, because I'd actually probably be more entertained if I was hate-watching it. But I'm not hate-watching it. I'm just...
Bleh.
Milk toast watching it, because it's not bad enough for me to hate or for me to laugh at. There are little flashes of things that do interest me, So I don't know. I'm sort of way in between on this one, because there are things I like and things that make me roll my eyes at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, once Kat sits down and watches Ex Machina, we'll have a follow-up discussion about this, because
now that there are some things that we need.
We need to talk about that together. There are some connections that really need to be made here. But because she hasn't seen a movie since 2014, we can't talk about it with her right now. But
many of these
themes are very similar. Very similar themes.
Very similar themes, but talk about night and day.
That's the contrast we'll discuss when we do Ex Machina. But okay. Yeah, a movie like Ex Machina, I think, has got some strong crossovers with some of the themes that humans is trying to achieve here. And I think that's going to be worth a discussion. So I know you and I have been itching to discuss Ex Machina, as well as something else out there. Wasn't there something else that we wanted?
Chappie!
And wasn't there something else, Chappie, and Ex Machina?
Terminator.
Okay, we can do Terminator, yes. Yeah. So we got to get Kat to sit down and watch a couple of these movies so we can just have an all Android out-a-thon and do it big. So that'll be good. But okay, so for whatever reason, I believe Kat is using 1990s technology. She has a giant Wall Street dial-in phone. We have lost her. So I'm going to do the outro, and we'll try to connect with her again. So thank you, Eric, for joining us. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
As always. And that's our show. So we'd love your feedback. So give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website and leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can also leave us a comment on iTunes. You can reach us online, of course. I am at RoboMinister on Twitter. Kat is at FantasyFimbot. Eric, which one you want?
Bullet Who, BULLITT, Who.
All right, at Bullet Who. And you can reach us all at SciFiPartyLine on Twitter and on Facebook, Google+, and Stitcher Radio. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the next. We'll see you next time on the Sci-Fi Party Line. Bye.
Adios.
of line.